When the Aristide government basically folded the military in 95, did we see a migration from the military to the paramilitaries? What kind of a relationship was there at that point?
Yeah, it's complex. So so when Aristide's government came back in 94, they had to get the help of the U.S. This huge grassroots movement really pressured the U.N. and the U.S. to act to bring the return of the elected government and remove this real corrupt, brutal narco dictatorship that was there. And so when that happened in 94, the Haiti's government also had to accept all these stipulations from the international powers to get their support. And one of those was to allow a few hundred Haitian military men that from this former brutal military to allow them into Haiti's police force under the democratic government. And so I explained in the book how that sort of created a seed of major problems for the future, because these guys had powerful positions in the police force. Also, why that's important is because Aristide disbanded the Haitian military. He disbanded the section chiefs, which was this rural, brutal sheriff force. And the paramilitaries had also basically gone into hiding or fled the country when the elected government was returned. So this is a real sort of untold story of how Haiti's democracy did away with these violent forces, and they also started a judicial process to put these guys on trial, even some of their financiers, which is almost never occurs in the history of the region, where paramilitary groups and their financiers are gone after so strongly.
Which would have caused concern in the Dominican Republic, where a lot of the paramilitaries were being aided.
Yeah, exactly. And the book goes into that, and then it explains how when Aristide was reelected in 2000, some of these guys in the police force and then these paramilitaries that had gone to the Dominican Republic really led this new campaign.
Mm-hmm. So there was the coup in 2004, and we ended up with an interim government. Aristide is gone, and there was an interim government. Where did the paramilitaries figure in at that point when they basically imposed the new president?
Yeah, so leading up to the coup, when the paramilitaries were running all these raids into the country from the Dominican Republic, massacring people, attacking police stations and things, the U.S., Canada, and France used that as a pretext to remove Aristide, get rid of the Aristide government. They already didn't like the government because it had raised minimum wages. It was starting a lawsuit calling for colonial reparations from France. Mm. So a lot of it was a more left-leaning government, but it was also weak. So yeah. The Bush administration, Canada, France, they wanted to get rid of it. So they used that pretext to kick Aristide out of the country. They took him on one of those unmarked rendition planes to the Central Africa. And so after this coup, what we know now, which is really interesting from WikiLeaks, is that around 400 of these paramilitaries were integrated into Haiti's police force. And so you basically got a paramilitary police force after the coup. And why that's important is because after the coup, there were these huge demonstrations calling for the return of the elected government, protesting the coup and how these foreign powers had intervened in Haiti. But these paramilitary police started shooting at these demonstrators. There's different documentaries showing the massive violence, the people getting shot in the head by these paramilitary police that would often run missions jointly with UN troops that had come to Haiti after the coup. And after this had gone on for a while, a sector of the anti-coup movement started fighting back, picking up weapons and fighting with the UN. Sometimes they were called militants, other times they were called gangs, and it's hard to know. Some might have been more criminally oriented, others more politically oriented. But whatever the matter, how that occurred, it's clear that after the coup, there was a huge explosion of political violence, and the and the paramilitaries and the and how they had been integrated into the police force was really central to this. And it's this is another kind of untold story of how that played out. And we know that thanks to WikiLeaks. Without WikiLeaks, we wouldn't have that information.
Okay. Is there any interview in particular that really sticks out in your mind as you look back?
Yeah, probably the most, maybe one of the more useful and probably the only interview I had where I was a bit worried was the interview with Louis Jodel Chamblain, who was the co-founder of the FRAP and was also involved in the most recent wave of paramilitarism and was chief of security for baby Doc Duvalier, who returned to Haiti after the earthquake and is still free, hasn't been put in jail or seen court, his time in court. So I interviewed Louis Jodel Chamblain, this neo Duvalierist paramilitary. So that was pretty scary. And after we did this 2-hour interview, this was the most frightening thing, is because I talk about this in the book, he wanted to drive us to the hotel that we were staying at. I didn't want to get in the car with this guy, but he wouldn't take no for an answer. So we got in his white Jeep and we drove down the hill. He was staying at the Hotel Ibo Lili, which is this really luxurious, beautiful hotel in Pétionville, the nicest, the wealthiest suburb of Port-au-Prince. And so he drove us down the hill. And then ultimately we made an excuse to get out of the Jeep and take public transportation. But the other shocking thing about that is that I was sleeping in this place called the Ismery House, which is the home of Antoine Ismery, the former home of Antoine Ismery, a progressive journalist who was murdered. And Chamblain, a decade prior, had been found guilty of organizing the guy's murder. And I was sleeping at this sort of hotel that was formerly the home of this guy, Antoine Ismery. So I couldn't tell Chamblain that I'm sleeping at the home of the guy that you were found guilty of organizing the killing of. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was that was scary. And then Chamblain should be in jail.
Maybe you could just indicate what your hopes, expectations are in terms of what this book might be able to achieve that would benefit the Haitian people.
Well, I think the most important thing for right now, it provides this historical record of what happened, and it gets at things like these Freedom of Information Act documents that Haitians wouldn't be able to get because you have to be a U.S. citizen to even request them. But the other thing is, after the earthquake, Haiti's right wing, with the support of some foreign allies, really took advantage of the situation. They were able to get in power through elections where something like 23% of Haiti's registered voters turned out, one of the lowest turnouts in history in the country for an election. And after this right wing has come to power in Haiti, they're trying right now to rebuild Haiti's army. The old paramilitaries now head up security for this new regime, and they're really trying to giving a new name and pretending like it's something different, but they're ultimately trying to rebuild the apparatus, the Duvalierist apparatus that Aristide had disbanded in 1995.
So
that's what I meant. So that's the main point of putting out the book, and the tour is to really build awareness about that and to help Haiti solidarity activists and people trying to fight against this and pressure the U.S. and Canada to not help this rebuilding the military in the country.
Is there anything else you'd like to add before we close the interview?
Oh, just thanks for having me on the show. Yeah, it's great. Thanks to all the people that showed up for the talk. Yeah, it's great to be here in Winnipeg.
Okay. Paramilitarism and the Assault on Democracy in Haiti is published by Monthly Review Press and is out in independent bookstores now.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jeb.